Little bit of history going down on the Fantasy Football Today podcast on CBSSports.com. Welcome in. This is brought to you by Squarespace. Squarespace recently launched the latest version of their platform, Squarespace 7, which has a completely redesigned interface, integrations with Getty Images and Google Apps, 15 new templates, and an incredible feature called Make Your Own Money. No, I'm just kidding. It's called Cover Pages, and it's cool. Try the new Squarespace at squarespace.com and enter code FUN at checkout to get 10% off. This is Squarespace. Start here. Go anywhere.
Go anywhere.
All right. Welcome in. It's Dave. It's Jamie. It's Friday. And the history that you're going to hear about live on the air has to do with a certain desk that Jamie and I both wanted. Jamie technically claimed it first, but due to a technicality, I managed to sneak my way into being in contention for the desk. We're moving desks here at the office. So live on the podcast, we will flip a coin to determine who gets the desk of choice and who gets the desk next to it. And I don't really know what's especially great about this desk. It's just, it has no view, which I kind of like, because I don't want to be distracted.
Uh-huh.
But literally, it's up against a wall. It's a corner desk, so I think that's really what it is that it's on a corner, you're only sharing a wall with one other person, whereas the other desk, the one that we don't want, shares two walls with two different people. So we'll get to that as we go along. Now I want Jimmy 8 minutes of analysis on Cardinals at Rams. Do you think you could even do that? Do you think you could
eight
give me
8 minutes?
8 minutes of analysis on Cardinals Rams from Thursday Night Football?
There was a punt. Then another punt.
Was there a field goal?
Then a punt. And another punt.
This is almost as good as the game.
A punt?
Was there anything
then
else besides punting?
Punt.
Is there anything to feel good about fantasy-wise from these two teams?
Kerwin Williams
week
looked
16?
Good. Trey Mason looked bad. Look, the Cardinals passing game got worse. You know, not that Drew Stanton was helping these guys, but now we're talking about maybe Ryan Lindley, maybe Logan Thomas. I feel bad for Cardinals fans because they have a great defense and they had a great offense before Carson Palmer went down and then Andre Ellington went down. They're going to make the playoffs.
Are they going to get creamed in the first round?
I don't know, because their defense is keeping them in games. Look, they went to play Kansas City, played them tough, they win the game. Go into St. Louis, played them tough, win that game. Those aren't playoff teams.
Mm-hmm.
But would you be shocked if one of the wild card teams,
well,
Detroit
hold on now.
Or Dallas,
one
or
of the wild card teams
Philly?
Could be Seattle. If Arizona just gets by enough to win the division,
I think
then
Seattle
has to go to Arizona.
I think that's a beatable team for them because they're very similar in except for the quarterback position.
Mm-hmm.
But you know they're going to try and run the ball. You know they're going to be physical defensively. That's a winnable game. Like the NFC West teams outside of San Francisco are all very similar in how they want to play.
Okay.
So I think that's a winnable game for them. Could they beat up a Dallas, Philly, or Detroit in their building? Certainly. And make it a field goal game and maybe a one-touchdown game, 13-6, 13-9. They could win that type of game, 13-10. So, but they would have had a legitimate chance to make it a
run.
To
the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I don't know.
Hosting the Super Bowl in Arizona, that would have been interesting.
Yeah, it's just unfortunate for them. But now it's all, you know, and I don't say this because I don't think they deserve it, because they do, but I'd rather see them miss the playoffs, which is not going to happen.
Right.
Because they're not going to have a pretty game. You know, it's not going to be fun. You'd rather mm-hmm. see the quarterbacks that are up for it, Philly notwithstanding, but
you'd rather
Romo,
see them compete
Stafford,
at full strength.
Wilson. Yeah, absolutely. Well, they're not going to be full strength, but I'd rather see the more pleasant offenses to watch in there, because that game was ugly.
I'm ready to dump Fitzgerald, Floyd, John Brown from fantasy rosters. The
oh,
only
sure.
guy that I might hang on to is Kerwin Williams, and that's just for running back depth.
Yep.
And on St. Louis, I think I'm ready to dump.
Rest of the season, you want Kerwin Williams or Trey Mason?
I think Mason's got the Giants next week.
Yep.
So I think I'll take Trey Mason. That's the only reason why.
But
just
Williams
for week
has
16.
What? Week 17 in San Francisco, I believe. Right?
Yeah.
If you play into
if you play into week 17, that's reason enough. They're both worth holding on to. But Stedman Bailey, as much as I liked him,
he played well last night, though.
He had 87 total yards. It wasn't bad, but I think you don't have to hang on to him.
True.
Britt's old news. Don't get me started on Jared Cook. He let me down again.
This was my fear.
Was my fear, too.
Yeah.
He had eight targets. He had a play called back. It was a 15-yard play. I thought it would have how
he
much.
He pushed off. It was his fault that was a call.
Yeah, well, the ref should have looked the other way. He had an end zone target.
Should have looked the other way.
He had nice shoes on. All right, so that's pretty much it. The DSTs are still very good for both teams.
Yep.
Quick news check going into Friday. There's been a lot going on. Jamie, I know we should probably start with Julio Jones,
yep,
who did not practice again on Friday. The Falcons list him as questionable.
He's not playing.
You don't think he's going to play? No. I think if he plays, he won't be anywhere close to 100%.
I would imagine that, you know, the Falcons have to sort of weigh their risk-reward of further injuring a guy who's got a history of foot problems, now has a hip injury, versus do we have to force him out there to make this playoff push? Can they win this game without him? Yes. Would they love to have him on the field? 100%. But they're very deep at that position because Harry Douglas has proven he could step in and play at a very high level.
Yes, he is.
Roddy White appears to be healthy at least as he can be. Devin Hester can make some plays for them. And so I think that they can run the ball as well against Pittsburgh. So Julio Jones, to me, is somebody you should not plan to be without. I've already removed him from my rankings.
I have also removed him from my rankings, but not my projections. I still have him in there for a few yards. And then, of course, if he's inactive on Sunday, he's out of there. But we'll wait and see. But I'm a big fan of Harry Douglas this week.
You're going to start him over Roddy White, right?
I don't have him ranked that way. I guess I just don't have the guts to do that.
I don't see to me, I only gave Matt Ryan one touchdown. I gave him a huge amount of yards. But he's dropped down from four, you had him at two. I had him at four.
I moved him down.
He's now eight for me.
Yeah, where do I have him? I think he's right around there.
I gave him the one touchdown to Roddy White. Would not be surprised if he gets two. But I didn't give Harry Douglas a touchdown. I gave Harry Douglas 100 yards. So I think you look at what these guys should be able to do. They both should be top 20 caliber fantasy receivers.
I've got him at seven. And just the way the Steelers have been playing against tight ends, I gave Toyolo a goal line touchdown. Literally,
yeah,
one catch, 1 yard, one touchdown, six fantasy
well
points. And I think that'll help Matt Ryan. I think the run game is going to have to contribute to not just between the tackles, but catching passes.
Jacquizz Rodgers has been a big part of Ryan's, you know, throwing luck.
He has been. That's been an important thing. What else is happening in the news? You want to talk about Torrey Smith?
We'll stay with receivers. Torrey Smith able to practice on a limited basis on Friday. He says he thinks it would be better off if he sat out a game. I think that makes 100% sense.
But the
Ravens should be able to beat Jacksonville. That could just be, you know, them toying with
Jacksonville. Well, we should say he's listed as probable.
I still don't expect him to play. And if he does play, why would you even consider it?
I would not.
So I would count against him.
Does that make Kamar Aiken an interesting deep sleeper?
Not a bad deeper league target. But week 15, fantasy playoffs, you know, who's starting? Maybe better in FanDuel than he is in seasonal leagues. Steve Smith missed practice with an illness, but Harbaugh expects him to play. DeSean Jackson looks like he's going to play. He's been practicing. Don't love the matchup for him at all, so I don't know where you're going to consider him. He's number 30 for me at receiver.
Yeah, I haven't even thought about it yet. Gruden says his chances of playing are 50-50.
Right.
Colt McCoy is going to be the starter there.
Right. It sounds like Percy Harvin plans to play, which would be a great thing for his value because it's a good matchup.
Yeah, you know, Tennessee secondary.
I don't know how many people would feel comfortable starting him, but we saw what he did last week. Maybe he and Geno Smith can get on the same page again. Don't know how much I want to trust him either, but, you know, keep an eye on his status. I don't understand why he would play at this point because he's going to have to prove himself going into next season. I don't know if he wants to risk, you know, coming out at less than 100%.
I see what you're saying. What about Ryan Matthews? Are you done on wide receivers?
Yeah, Andre Johnson wasn't cleared yet, so you can plan on him being out.
Right.
Running backs, Jamal Charles able to practice in full. Looks like he's going to be
Andy
good to
Reed
go.
Says he's going to be normal.
Yep. You mentioned Ryan Matthews.
We'll talk about that game in a little
bit. Didn't practice at all this week. You can plan on him being out.
Yep.
Sounds like it's Donald Brown, though, over Brandon Oliver. Brown has passed Oliver on the depth chart for the Chargers.
Doesn't matter.
Well, I mean, look, if people are stuck in deeper leagues.
Yeah. I guess if you're desperate, it matters.
I'd go Brown over Oliver. And maybe, look, we saw this last year with Donald Brown. Got an opportunity, came in, played very well in the relief role.
Tough matchup.
I don't think he's starting, but, you know, just somebody that maybe you want to speculate on for future reference. Eddie Lacy, able to practice on Friday, list as probable. That's a great thing.
What do you think about his workload?
I think it'll be okay. If you have Eddie Lacy, I have him in two, you know, playoff leagues. I was actually hoping that he was going to be out because of this uncertainty. I hate wishy-washy stuff like this. You know, the fact that he may play, you know, the Julius Thomas scenario, the Brandon Marshall scenario we dealt with all season long.
Right.
So, I handcuffed him with James Starks. I would rather just know it's one guy. So, and I say that with, I hope Eddie Lacy's fine. I'm starting Eddie Lacy, clearly, but I just don't like this.
Yeah. McCarthy said that the game plan last week was to use Starks with Lacy. So I wonder if it's going to be more like 65-35.
That was what they Lacy were Starks. When Starks was healthier earlier in the season. Yeah. And Starks started getting these nagging injuries and Lacy took off. So I hope it's the Eddie Lacy that we know, the Lady Eddie Lacy that we've seen, and we'll see how Buffalo does to defend them. Trying to think of any other running back news. Matthews, we talked about. Oh, the Giants are, you know, some different reports out of the Giants this week. Tom Coughlin said expect to see Rashad Jennings getting his full workload, but there's a report in ESPN New York that Jennings may not be ready to handle a full workload yet. So I think it's going to be flex options at best for both these guys in terms of Jennings and Williams.
Could game flow determine how that could shake out?
Absolutely. If they're winning, it's going to be a lot of Williams. So I like Williams better. I projected Williams for more fantasy points. I gave him a touchdown. So it depends on just, you know, how you want to approach it, but I would try to avoid Jennings if you can.
Would you try to avoid both just because there's so much uncertainty there? Maybe if you're in a pinch, it's Williams, but otherwise.
Think about the game the last time that they faced each other. It was a Thursday night game. Williams was Jennings was coming
off a huge
workload, and they really limited him. Williams had a lot of work. I think it was 15 carries, 60-some-odd yards, and a touchdown in that game. Would not be surprised if something similar happens this week.
I just want to add that Lorenzo Talaferro didn't practice all week.
Good sleeper.
Listed as questionable. It opens the door for Bernard Pierce
to
take over that short yardage role. But Justin Forsett against Jacksonville should go on to have a huge game, and we'll talk about
that. Think about what happened last week.
In fact, let's get into that now.
Think about what happened last week where they were leaning on Talaferro because Forsett had the knee problem. Mm-hmm. And then he got hurt.
Fourth quarter, Forsett.
And Forsett got in there and did great.
Yeah.
And he also scored a touchdown. So it sounds like Forsett's close to 100%, which is great. But, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they're ahead. Speaking of game flow, that Bernard Pierce gets some garbage time production like we saw earlier in the season when it was a lot of 9 fantasy point days for Forsett and then one of the other two guys will score a touchdown.
Right, so maybe 6 or 7 points on a good day for Pierce. I would put Pierce ahead of some of the other running backs that we talked about, the Chargers guys, for example.
Oh, sure. But would you start him over Williams or Jennings?
I think it's tough to start him over either one of those guys.
I agree.
Maybe you could talk me into Jennings, but either one of those guys, I'm just really not feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What about the Baltimore passing game, Steve Smith specifically?
I think he's an okay third receiver.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of those games where, and we saw it, not necessarily for Smith in the Saints game, but when they are running the ball and they're on top and they're ahead in the game and they're winning the game.
Right.
The Titans game, the Saints game. The last 2 weeks have been different for them because they've been chasing points in those two games. Or at least in a competitive shootout, the Chargers game and the Dolphins game. Joe Flacco was throwing a ton. He had 27 fantasy points each of those two games. I don't see that happening. I see build a lead early, run the ball with a lot of success, sit on the lead. Flacco gets one touchdown probably.
That's what I'm thinking too.
Owen Daniels. Yeah. It could be Kamar Aiken. It could be Steve Smith. I'd be okay with Smith, especially if Torrey Smith is out. But I wouldn't say slam dunk by any stretch. I think I'd rather start Martavis Bryant over him. I'd rather start Kenny Stills over him. I'd rather start both Patriots guys over him.
Mm-hmm.
So Golden Tate I'd rather have over him. You know, so that's kind of where he falls. Mid-20s in my rankings.
I've got him at 24th. You've got him at 27th. So we're almost in the same type of neighborhood with Steve Smith. When I look at Jacksonville, I see a run game that I want no part of. We know that Darnell Robinson's out for the year. Yeah, here are two more running backs that I'll take Bernard Pierce over. Toby Gerhardt. Yep. Maybe he scores. It's going to have to be a lucky break for him. Storm Johnson will get in there if you want to stash him in deeper leagues. Maybe you can do that
because I think
he's better
16.
Long-term. Because they've got Tennessee.
Yes.
I think it's going to be determined on who does better in Week 15 and who does well in practice and how healthy Toby Gerhardt is.
Do you think that they just say at this point we're going to give Toby a full workload to see if our investment over a two-year period?
I almost think they'd do that with Storm Johnson.
I would
just
hope
to
so.
See what they have.
I would hope
that's
so.
Part of the reason why I wouldn't mind stashing him. Because, boy, that matchup. Short week, Tennessee.
It's still Jacksonville, though.
Should be good. It is still Jacksonville. I'm not loving it, but if you're just really desperate at running back or if you want to keep your opponent from getting him, Storm Johnson is the guy to pick up. So I'm with you on that. Baltimore's DST, even with that terrible secondary, I like him a lot. Just because Jacksonville, you know, Blake Bortles is going to be good for a turnover.
He's been sacked 4 times. Or more in 3 of his last 4 games.
Mm-hmm.
And they're coming off a game where they just got after Tannehill 5 times.
Yep.
Very similar offensive
line.
Their
pass rush is doing well. So I think they can keep it up. Okay. Green Bay at Buffalo. Next up on the docket. And I think this is going to be a tough game for the Packers. I've been talking about it all week. The fact that teams are able to put up points on Green Bay is what kind of worries me. And I see Sammy Watkins have this big game last week. hopefully Kyle Orton helps us out and is on the ball and is not the woeful, inaccurate Kyle Orton that we've seen in the past couple of weeks. He wasn't last week. He did a good job for the most part last week.
Well, garbage time helped him out a lot.
Garbage time helped. But
drive.
You know what? There could be a lot of garbage time in this game. I don't think there's a situation that hurts the Buffalo passing game. Right, because there's one where Green Bay just builds a huge lead, and then there's garbage time and they have to throw.
Do you wonder if they're getting blasted? Do they pull Orton?
And put E.J. Manuel in?
Because at that point they know they're out of playoff contention. They're not, you know, hanging on to anything.
That's like fourth quarter with 5 minutes left. And I don't even know if they do that.
Though, if Green Bay, I'm just saying.
If it's 38-3 at the end of three.
They're trouncing them, and Orton is having a Brian Hoyer type day.
Then maybe they moved to Manuel. Sure, I could see that. But I could also see it being a fairly close game. I could see Green Bay having a little bit of a hard time. We know Eddie Lacy isn't perfect. We know that the Bills' run game is pretty good, at least at a yards per carry basis. They're pretty good. The touchdowns against Denver last week, those were pretty bad. But I think that combined with the fact that the Packers going on the road after playing on Monday night, maybe they're just starting to run a little bit out of gas. Jordy Nelson hasn't been great on the road. I think that there's a chance that Buffalo keeps it close. So, obviously, you're going to go with your Packers. I'm not going to tell you to sit Jordy, sit Cobb, sit Rodgers, sit Lacy. I don't think I want to trust Davante Adams. I don't think I want to trust any of the tight ends.
Sure.
And I don't know if I really love the DST either. I think they can get a turnover. I think they can get a couple of sacks. That's really about it. On the Buffalo side of the ball.
They're not a defense that's going to, you know, help you in terms of points allowed. They're going to help you with turnovers and sacks.
I agree. I think Fred Jackson's a dynamite play. And I really love him. It goes double for PPR because I think he's going to catch a lot of passes.
I don't know if he'll score. That's the problem.
I don't know if he'll score either, but I think in a standard league, if we're looking for 90 total yards, I think he can get that.
I agree.
And you've seen the Packers allow a rushing touchdown each of the last 2 weeks. Their defense just isn't great right now. Mm-hmm. And I think Buffalo can take advantage. Sammy should be in lineups. He's in both of my FanDuel lineups this week. And I think Kyle Orton is a sleeper quarterback. I think he can find 2 touchdowns. And as of now, I've got him ranked ahead of Johnny Manziel. And we'll get into the Manziel game next. I don't want to trust Chris Hogan unless I'm desperate. I would put him ahead of Robert Woods. I don't really want to trust the Bills defense because hashtag Aaron Rodgers. And I really think that's pretty much it for this game.
Yep.
Cincinnati is at Cleveland, and this is Johnny Bowl. Johnny Manziel will make his NFL debut. We spoke with Anita Marks on Friday's edition of Fantasy Football Today. And Anita believes that Manziel isn't going to have a good game.
Explain who Anita is. So.
Anita Marks is the fantasy analyst on That Other Pregame Show on CBS Sports Network. You can find her at Anita Marks on Twitter. Sorry for that. She believes that Manziel won't have a good game. She thinks he's going to have an outstanding game.
Yeah, I was surprised the level of people she was planning to
start. She's starting him over Matthew Stafford.
And Russell Wilson.
Just let that sink in. I'm going to give everybody about 5 seconds. She's starting Johnny Manziel over Matthew Stafford and Russell Wilson.
You know, I went and looked on Fantasy Pros, and the highest I think I saw Manziel was ranked like 11th. So for me, that's not far off. I have him 14th. And I would understand starting him over Mark Sanchez, which I think you have that.
I would do. I would do that.
I don't, but I can understand it. I can understand going over Eli Manning because, look, Eli Manning's been a train wreck. I could be talked into the argument of Russell Wilson. I like Wilson better, but I can be talked into it because, to me, they're very similar in how they play. One is proven to be able to avoid turnovers, but guys going to run around, guys can make plays. We'd all sign up for Cleveland's receiving core over Seattle's.
Mm-hmm.
So there's certainly a fair argument for Russell. And then, you know, Romo, Ryan now with the receiver change. Stafford, to me, doesn't make any sense.
I agree. I think he's playing great right now.
If he was on the road against a tough opponent.
Even if he was on the road against Minnesota. Maybe it would be closer.
I would say a tough opponent. But yeah, that's fine. Minnesota on the road.
Yeah, I'm not saying I would do that, but I'm just saying it would be closer.
If this was the New England game a few weeks ago, I could buy into that argument.
Yeah, I could buy into that too.
But at home against Minnesota, I don't understand that. But I think,
and it's because Calvin's playing so well.
I think it's, you know, forget about Stafford, but I think this is what his Manziel's appeal is. And look, you know, forget about what Anita said for a second. Think about what Bart Scott told us on Thursday Night Live. And he has obviously a pretty good understanding of this division, of what the Browns are, of, you know, the NFL. I mean, he's proven to be very knowledgeable on the NFL Today and certainly our show. He says he wouldn't be surprised if Manziel, and if I'm off on the numbers, let me know. 212 passing,
right?
52 rushing.
Yep.
Two total touchdowns.
Yep.
A turnover.
I don't know if you mentioned turnover.
I think, well, I think we kind of illustrated that, and I think he didn't necessarily agree with it.
Okay,
disagree with it.
That's 23 fantasy points.
I wouldn't be – see, I don't know what you're projecting for. I'm projecting for 18 points.
Yeah, I think I've got him right around there.
I think that's a good floor for him. And if you're stuck at quarterback, I would start him over Derek Anderson. I know you wouldn't, but I would. I'd start him over Phillip Rivers. I don't trust Rivers this week. I'd start him over Dalton, Tannehill, Kaepernick is easy. You would start him over Sanchez.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you on Dalton, Tannehill, and Kaepernick. I think if you're going to take a risk at quarterback, you might as well go with Johnny Football. Because the rushing yards, I don't think he's exactly like RG3, where the rushing yards are just going to come in bunches. RG3 circa rookie year.
Well, he didn't really get a lot of rushing yards per se. It was rushing touchdowns that really saved him.
Yeah.
But
his mobility is huge, and it should lead to some big plays downfield.
The Bengals have given up 50 or more rushing yards to two quarterbacks so far this year. Can you name them?
Cam in the tie. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm cheating because I heard Anita say Jake Locker.
Jake Locker.
Yeah.
6 for 50.
Right.
In that game.
So I think Johnny should be able to get 50 there, too.
Huh?
What does it mean for Josh Gordon? Are you loving Josh Gordon?
Yeah,
or do you think he's just...
The more I think about it, and the Mike Evans comparison with him breaking down plays.
You've moved him to 12th.
Yep.
Over A.J. Green.
Over A.J.
You
Green.
Would do that.
Yep.
I'm not buying into that. I can't do that. But, just the fact that Josh Gordon is going to be that downfield guy. It would be very wise of the Browns to call plays similar to what he had at Texas A&M.
Well, Bart was saying that don't be surprised if you see the read option because of Shanahan.
Right. Are you worried about Manziel getting knocked around in this game? I don't think the Bengals are packing that kind of a punch right now.
Their defense is really falling apart. I mean, Burfict not being there is, clearly impactful. You look at Geno Atkins is still working his way back. He's not there yet. Their secondary was torched last week.
They had a little bit of a stretch there when Ray Maluga came back where their run defense was good again.
Yeah, I think the thing that you have to hope with Manziel is, like we see with all these running quarterbacks, is it opens up running lanes. You know, so I'm really excited about Crowell this week. I think he's going to have a good game.
Where do you have him ranked?
Top 15, I believe.
Do you have Isaiah Crowell over Jeremy Hill?
Yes.
What about over Steven Jackson?
Yes.
LeGarrette Blount, start of the week, LeGarrette Blount, or
I have
Isaiah Crowell?
Crowell 15, Blount is 13.
Okay. I got Crowell at 18. And I love the upside, not just with Blount and not just with Jackson, but also over Chris Johnson, or Chris Johnson ahead of Crowell. Mm-hmm. But I do have Crowell ahead of Hill, Fred Jackson, Chris Ivory, Trey Mason. Hopefully you did that move as well. Jordan Cameron, is he in your top 12?
Yeah. I'll maintain what I've said all week long. I like the targets that were there from last week, 5 targets in his first game back. I think Manziel will help him. I like the matchup. You know, we've seen the Bengals really struggle with tight ends at times this year. And so I think, similar to Josh Gordon, when the play breaks down, that's a guy he can look at. Play action, that's an easy target.
Red zone play action, I like that a lot.
And so I think, look, I said it in the waiver wire column when we talked about it on Tuesday on our show. I know I probably wasn't here at the time. I liked him better than Cook, and I think there's an opportunity for him to be in that group of guys of I don't necessarily feel 100% comfortable with it, but if I've been streaming tight ends all week long, there's no reason why he can't come in and play well. I start him over Rivera. I start him over Heath Miller. I start him over Jordan Reed. Mm-hmm. I like him better than Jason Witten this week.
The only name you said that I would disagree with you on is Heath Miller, just because I think that the matchup against Atlanta is going to lend to a lot of passing for Roethlisberger.
Yeah, but tight ends haven't done well against that team all season long.
They're going to be without William Moore, who was their starting strong safety.
Who hasn't played for times this year, too, and has done a good job against tennis.
I'm going to take my chances with Heath Miller over Jordan Cameron, but it's a close call as you do the Will Brinson pen flip over there. Cincinnati's guys, Jeremy Hill looks like he's the starting running back. I think we both feel the same about him as a number two fantasy running back. We already talked about how we both like Crowell better. I've got Hill at 19. You've got him at 18. So right there in the middle as a number two running back. Gio, I don't think, is a safe start. He's had, I believe you said earlier today, 6 fantasy points, 4 fantasy points, 2 fantasy points each of his last 3 games. I don't want any part of that. A.J. Green, everybody's going to start him. It's understandable why. There's too much potential to sit him. Just a bad track record against the Browns over the last 3 games he's played against them. And Joe Hayden will be in his face. But we've seen Hayden go up against other wide receivers, including T.Y. Hilton last week. And it's just a matter, you said this too, it's a matter of him getting just peppered with targets, and that Andy Dalton just goes
yeah.
through over and over and over again. And I think if the run game can't get going against Cleveland, I think they're going to have to do that.
I hope so. I mean, I really do. And look, I have AJ Green in one of my playoff games. And, you know, obviously I say I moved Gordon ahead of him. I had AJ at 12. He's now 13.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like I'm benching AJ Green by any stretch. But you just have to take into account there's a bad history here. And so it materialized itself the last time these two teams played. I don't know if, again, it has so much to do with A.J. Green. It has a lot to do with Andy Dalton and the scheme. And I think, based on what Hugh Jackson is saying, that they want to go to one guy, based on that that Dalton has struggled. He struggled in this game before. Mike Pettine might have a way of frustrating him. They're on the road.
Mm-hmm.
So this could be a lot of running for the Bengals.
Might try to do that. Is there a DST you prefer?
The Browns.
Me too. Houston at Indianapolis, a good old AFC South showdown between a team that's never beaten the Indianapolis Colts, at least not in Indianapolis. I remember that Thursday night game where Ryan Fitzpatrick had the Texans very close to beating them. Andre Johnson had the big game. Foster had good numbers. And then on their very last drive, turnover, game over, and Indianapolis walked out of there with a win. They got out to a huge start early on because of T.Y. Hilton. No doubt in my mind, he's going to be a great play.
Yep.
I think Andrew Luck, even with the offensive line woes, even with the first half nightmare that he had last week, I think fantasy owners can't help themselves. They have to stick with Andrew Luck as their starting fantasy quarterback, and they shouldn't do it with much concern, even though J.J. Watt will be in that mix. What about Dan Boom Clap Heron? Do you think that he's got a chance at getting, A, 15 touches, B, effectively putting up numbers with those 15 touches?
Yeah, I do.
You've been in his corner for a while.
Well, I just think that, you know, last week's game, when they got behind, they weren't going to run the ball. And so it really negated, I think, what their game plan was between him and Trent Richardson. So, you know, I think it was 15 carries combined between the two of them, 16 carries for the two of them. It wasn't something that was going to be attractive for their numbers. I still think he's their guy catching the ball in the backfield. You know, when they want to do what they were doing earlier in the season, that was a big factor for Ahmad Bradshaw. So I think he can get the numbers you threw out for Fred Jackson, I think, are very realistic for Dan Heron as well. He can get you to 90, 200 total yards.
Do you like him better than Fred Jackson?
I do. I like the matchup better for him. I like the situation better for him. And so they're close, though. I mean, I think I have 120 and 123, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing that I don't like about Jackson is that when the score gets out of whack, we saw him play a really huge role in the passing game last week. He had 10 catches for 30 yards and 6 carries for 30 yards.
Mm-hmm.
So 6 fantasy points. Heron did that also last week. So if you're talking about both of them having bad games, you can't sit here and say, oh, my God, Jackson was awesome last week and Dan Heron was terrible. The numbers were the same.
Who's more likely to score?
Dan Heron.
You think so?
Yes.
I think Jackson is more likely to score. But there's a chance both of them might not score. I'm not as high on you as Heron. I think he is outside of my top 24. I think he's a good third running back just because of the yardage. I think he's got a good shot at 80 total yards against Houston. I think Andrew Luck is going to throw a bunch. That's obviously good for T.Y. Hilton. I'm not touching Reggie Wayne and his torn triceps
nope.
with a 4-foot pull. I think Dante Moncrief is a fun player, and if you've got guts, you can start him. Huge boomer bust type player, but I don't know if I really want to use him in week 15, especially after last week when he didn't do a whole
indoors,
lot.
Indoors, though.
Indoors definitely could help him out. We'll see on that. I don't know if I want him floating around on my waiver wire, especially if the team I'm playing is thin at wide receiver. That's something you might want to check out. The tight ends for Indianapolis. You've got Dwayne Allen. You've got Kobe Fleener. If you're asking me, I'm going with Dwayne Allen, and it's not with a lot of confidence that I would go with either one. I just think that the opportunity is there for him to score a red zone touchdown, whereas Fleener got a lot of targets last week, didn't do a whole lot with them. I think they're both risky, but when it comes to tight ends and fantasy, you don't really have much of a choice. It's not a bad thing to go with a tight end on Indianapolis because they should both play a lot. They should both get – I think Allen should get way more targets than he had last week, and I think Fleener could have about as many targets as he has last week. I'm looking at your rankings. Both are in your top 10, Fleener 9, Dwayne Allen 10. I've got Dwayne Allen at 9 and Fleener at 12, so you guys pretty much know where we're at with those two. Any feelings at all about DeAndre Hopkins with Andre Johnson not expected to play?
I think Hopkins is a safe number two receiver. You know, I look at it sounds like Vontae Davis is going to play.
Mm-hmm.
He's able to practice. I don't know if he's been cleared yet with the concussion. So you have to keep that in mind when you're talking about Hopkins. I've dropped him a little bit in my rankings. Originally, he was 13 after changing some things around. He's now 16. You have him in the exact same spot.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, he's a guy I think you just can't get away from because that's Ryan Fitzpatrick's guy, and they'll probably be chasing points. The thing about Vontae Davis, which I think we've illustrated numerous times throughout the season, he doesn't move.
Mm-hmm.
He stays on one side.
Right.
So Hopkins can avoid him.
I think you're right. I think Hopkins is going to be one of those guys that gets a ton of targets this week.
Yep.
Has a big game. Puts up some big numbers. I've got him in FanDuel for sure. I don't really love either DST in this game. I think the Texans can pick up a couple of sacks. That's about it.
Yeah.
Not really loving either guy. Jamie, before we get to the coin toss to determine where we sit in our new office space as we're moving around in the office, I'd like to tell you about a little site called Squarespace.com. They're the ones that have brought this podcast before everybody listening today. And it's the place where you can easily create your own professional website or online portfolio. And it's now redesigned with the Squarespace 7 interface, including integration with Google Apps, partnership with Getty Images, 15 new templates, and something called Cover Pages that help make your site look great. And when it does look great, it's going to look amazing. You can look at it on your desktop, your laptop, your tablet, your iPhone, your Android device, your Google device, your connected TV, anywhere where you can go on a website. And we've told you about some websites past couple of weeks of Fantasy Football Today podcast listeners who built a website on Squarespace. And I hope you guys have gone to check it out or at least just drop by and say hi, even if you're not interested in building a website in Squarespace. But you should be interested in building a website on Squarespace because it starts at just $8 a month. It includes a free domain name if you sign up for a year. And you can start that free trial with no credit card required. Build the website today, and when you sign up, you use the offer code FUN to get 10% off. You show your support to our podcast, which we've worked hard on all year long. We've helped you get to this point in your leagues, and then you can have your website. We will tell people about your website built on Squarespace through the Fantasy Football Podcast. You just have to tell us and let us know. Squarespace. Start here. Go anywhere.
Go anywhere.
Jamie, we're halfway through the AFC home games. Let's talk about a barn burner between the Raiders and the Chiefs. Begin Latavius Murray talk now.
I think he's an okay number two running back. I'm a little nervous that it's going to have us. He's going to have a similar situation like what happened to him last week with the 49ers, where Kansas City, after getting abused by them, they just sell out to stop the run and say, Derek Carr, you're going to have to beat us and see what happens. It's going to be tougher in their building. Murray's two good games have come at home, but I like the workload last week, and I'll buy into that.
Mm-hmm.
So 23 carries last week, 90 total yards. I think that's a good number to sort of look at. If he scores, you're going to be really happy with him. I guess the names I would start him over, Alfred Morris, I like him better than Morris this week.
Mm-hmm.
I like him better than Ivory of the Jets guys. I like him better than Jackson and Heron. But I'm not going crazy over Latavius Murray, so I think – That nine number is kind of where I would look at.
That's pretty much where I'm at, too. I've got him in between 80 and 90 total yards, and I might even have him closer to 90 than 80, and I've got him as a low-end two running back. You've got him in your top 20. I've got him in my top 24. I think the opportunities will be there for him, and I think Kansas City's run defense just past couple of weeks, it is what it is. Is there any other Raider that you would consider starting? No?
Nope.
Good. Let's move on to Kansas City, where they've got Jamaal Charles. They've got Travis Kelce. Kelce is a top 10 tight end. Oh, just for me. I've got him in my top 10. You've got him 11th. So a low-end starter against Oakland. I assume that's for the same reason as every week because you just don't know how many targets he's going to get and how much work he'll get in that Kansas City offense.
I gave my usual touchdown to Fasano.
You gave a touchdown to Fasano.
I do it every week.
And any other Chiefs you'd start this week?
Nope.
Okay, great. Let's move on to Miami and New England, and the Dolphins' offense seems to be in a tailspin. Ryan Tannehill, and I really think he's going to struggle against New England. Patriots, when they've got a game like this at home with the division to clinch, I think you're looking at a good opportunity for him to put up nice number or put up bad numbers. What the hell am I saying? I think the Dolphins are going to get trounced. I don't really feel comfortable starting any Dolphins this week.
Great.
And I think the offensive line is a big problem. I guess Landry is my favorite receiver between him and Wallace, but I don't really trust either one. Not trusting Charles Clay, Lamar Miller, third running back for me. And Tannehill, for all the love and hype that there was around him, the last two games have really sunk him. And now playing against Revis, Browner, that whole secondary for New England, yeah, I'm not ready to trust him in my lineup this week. So pretty much all Dolphins, hands off. And the Patriots, when they do have an opportunity like this, yeah, they should steamroll them en route to winning the AFC East. You have named, and I applaud your guts, Jamie, for naming LeGarrette Blount as your start of the week. Why don't you take a minute, tell everybody why you're so damn crazy?
Well, I look at the Dolphins' run defense the last 3 weeks, and there is none. The last three teams that they have faced, Denver, the Jets, and the Ravens, have basically averaged 200 yards rushing as a team against Miami. Three running backs in those games have gotten to double digits in fantasy points, and it could have probably been five had Pierce got his touchdown, Taliaferro had got his touchdown, had Chris Ivory scored a touchdown, because Anderson was a monster in that game. Chris Johnson got the double digits fantasy points, as did Justin Forsett. Week one, the Dolphins nearly had 200 yards rushing against the Patriots. And why is that important? Well, I don't think Bill Belichick's going to forget that his team got ran all over and started the season 0-1, and there was a lot of panic setting in.
Another big piece of motivation for them.
It's going to be cold in New England. Blount's been their lead back, and I think that they want to get their running game going, and there's no better opportunity for it to happen this week. Look, this is the third time this season I've had a Patriots running back as the start of the week. Both times I failed. Week three, I believe it was week
that
three.
Makes me feel great about
it. Well, look, I mean, I just have to be honest. Week three was Stephen Ridley against
He had a ton of carries. I remember that game. He just didn't do anything.
Didn't do anything. Week seven, I think it was.
Shane Vereen
against Chicago. Had two opportunities at the goal line. He ran sideways instead of going forward. Mm-hmm. If he scores one of those, he has 10 fantasy points because he finished with four, which would have put him probably in the top 15.
Right.
So there's where I come out on how I've done. However, I'll buy into this guy because he's been the lead running back for them. He's averaging almost 5 yards a carry since he's come to New England. Mm-hmm. And last week, that first drive for the Patriots in San Diego, they marched up and down the field, and he couldn't punch it in. I don't think it's going to be the case again this week.
All right, I'm with you on that. I think LeGarrette Blount can have a good game. Brady, of course, should have a great game. The Dolphins secondary lost strong safety Louis Delmas to a season-ending injury, a torn ACL, and I think the Patriots will take advantage with a lot of Robert Gronkowski. Of course, you're starting Gronk. Edelman and LaFell, do I have it right that you have Edelman ranked ahead of LaFell this week?
Yeah, he's got a great history against Miami. He will definitely avoid Brent Grimes. Right now he's clicking with Brady the last couple games.
Double-digit targets, three straight, right?
So I think you just look at it as a good opportunity for him. I can understand if you want to go LaFell over him, that's fine. I think both guys have an opportunity to play well here. I just like Edelman's usage right now. And I think we're getting back to what the Patriots, I think, wanted to be, which is play from the inside out.
I've got LaFell at 26, Edelman at 28, so I don't necessarily disagree with you. You've got Edelman at 21. And you've got Brandon LaFell at 25. So just to go over Jamie's wide receiver flow chart, it would be Julian Edelman, Keenan Allen, Jordan Matthews, Martavis Bryant, Brandon LaFell. For me, it looks more like Keenan Allen, Brandon LaFell, Marquise Lee, who's a sleeper for Jacksonville, by the way, Julian Edelman, and then Golden Tate. And then I've got Vincent Jackson actually behind him. Should probably move up Vincent Jackson.
So you're starting both. You're starting Charles Johnson over both Patriots.
I think Charles Johnson could score and have some decent yardage along with it. Just not quite sure how. I don't know if Edelman can score. I don't think he has a game like he had last week. I'm thinking it could be another one of those 8-for-80 type games. And PPR, it's probably different because of all the catches.
Well, PPR, he's a must-start guy. Of course, I don't think anybody's benching.
All right, I think so too. And I think New England's defense is
a great start. And
you're
starting Steve Smith over both Patriots.
As of now, that's how I have it ranked. You don't like that?
No.
Tough noogies for you.
Yes.
FanDuel is a game. It's a website that was built to help people with fantasy football addiction, which is a serious, not a problem, but more of a serious enjoyment that a lot of people like to have. And if you'd like to be entertained by more fantasy football in your life, you should go to FanDuel.com, where you play in a one-week league that starts at $1. You can play for free, and it goes all the way up to several hundred dollars if you roll like that, but I certainly don't. Most of the leagues are $1, $2, $5. I have a league this week that's $6 because I'm upping the stakes. And then, of course, they've got their $2 million Sunday Million Tournament. And when I say $2 million, that's not the buy-in. The buy-in is $25. The guaranteed prize pool is $2 million, with first prize being 10% of that, $200,000. So if you think you can put out the best fantasy football lineup for week 15, one quarterback, two running backs, three wide receivers, a tight end, a kicker, a defense, all on a half-point PPR format, and all under FanDuel's $60,000 salary budget that you have to fit these players into. Put up your $25 and go for it at FanDuel.com. They will even match your initial deposit, dollar for dollar, up to $200 when you use the promo code CBSWIN. I look forward to hearing about all of your success on FanDuel.com next week.
I think we only got one of these, but I'm going to read it now. Quick email. Because on the Sunday show, which you were not a part of, I don't know if Adam brought this up at all during...
The Sunday podcast?
Yes.
Yeah.
Brought it up at all during the week. So we were talking about how many hot dogs you ate
in
the show during the day, and you had four, correctly?
I had four hot dogs. No
right.
bun.
Right.
Mom.
So that's the answer that we said. We set the over-under at three hot dogs that you ate.
Uh-huh.
And so we got one email from it. So the email is, hello, Oscar Mayer and Adam. On the Sunday night podcast, there was talk about how many hot dogs Dave would eat with the line set at three. I say over, but what happened with that? So there's the answer. The answer was
four
that Dave ate. And then we told him Adam ate one like 4 hours later. That was
Yeah, that was weird. I have a picture of it.
And he talked about how disgusting it was. All right, so since James, where's James from?
Paducah, Kentucky.
With Eddie Lacy looking, this was a question about Eddie Lacy. So would you start Lacy or Fred Jackson in a half-point PPR?
I would go Lacy in a half-point PPR.
I agree.
Over Fred Jackson.
Sorry, James. We didn't get to your question when it was relevant.
But we did not.
He actually wanted to know Starks versus Fred Jackson.
Denver at San Diego. I have the injury report for this game. It just came into my inbox. Would you like me to read it to you?
The only one that's relevant is Julius Thomas was probable.
Julius Thomas is probable. Participated in practice all week. Limited on Wednesday and Thursday. Full practice on Friday. How confident are you in Julius Thomas?
I think you have to be at this point. You know, it's. We had a lot of questions going into last night. Do I gamble on Julius Thomas or Jared Cook? And I think we were both in agreement. You wait out Julius Thomas because there's going to be somebody else that you could start that may give you as much as Cook.
Correct.
Unless Cook went nuts, but then you just have to, you know, eat it.
Which I did with the hot dogs on Sunday.
Yes, four. Look, Thomas is not in my top five. I would start Larry Donnell over him.
Wow.
But he's there. You would start Delanie Walker over him.
I would start Delanie Walker over him. And I've got Julius Thomas at six.
So do I.
But I believe I'm projected for the same amount of fantasy points.
As do I.
I might change that. Now that he's practiced in full on Friday and looks like he's ready to go. I don't think he has a monster game. I don't think it's one of these 100-yard, two-touchdown games.
Sure.
San Diego's been pretty good against tight ends. And Thomas's track record against them isn't great. So it's a close call, but I think if you've got him and you've been riding him this whole season, why wouldn't you go with him now?
He hasn't been great, though. The touchdowns have saved him.
The touchdowns have saved him.
Which is awesome. I mean, look, you can't.
How many tight ends do you love for their yardage? Let's be real. There's some that do it.
Put it this way. Travis Kelce's been a very good yardage guy.
Right.
Doesn't score touchdowns.
Right.
So you'd rather have Julius Thomas than Travis Kelce.
I agree.
But if you just take his numbers on its surface, they're not great numbers.
Mm-hmm.
The touchdowns save him. I made the comment, I don't remember where, he's Bubba Franks. I mean, you know, that's basically what he's become.
He wasn't always Bubba Franks. And last year, he didn't have a year anything close to what Bubba Franks
Sure,
had.
But he scores touchdowns.
No concerns about Demaryius, Emmanuel Sanders. Those guys are too hot to sit. The running game, C.J. Anderson, was limited in practice on Thursday. As I look at it now, he was in full participation on Friday. He is probable for the game.
Yes.
Any concerns about C.J. Anderson against San Diego?
No. The biggest concern that people have is Peyton Manning. And do you start Peyton Manning over the guys that have great matchups? It's easy now with Matt Ryan without Julio Jones in there.
Right.
Ben Roethlisberger has a monster matchup. Romo's got a great matchup. I'm trying to think of guys you may have dropped. Russell Wilson's got a great matchup.
Mm-hmm.
I think you still got to stick with Peyton Manning.
I agree.
And so there could be a scenario where they run the ball a lot again. Would not be a surprise because we've seen it now for two games in a row. I wonder Peyton Manning's mindset because is it, let's develop our running game for the playoffs so that if we get stuck throwing the ball, we have this to fall back on, and it's great. At the expense of the timing is off with his receivers and that scenario, coupled with Aaron Rodgers is now distancing himself in the MVP race.
Do you think Peyton cares about the MVP race?
I don't know how much Peyton Manning cares about the MVP race.
I think he's all about the Super Bowl.
Well, of course he's all about the Super Bowl, but he's also – Those, I don't think you don't necessarily have to have one without the other. You can have both. You can get to the Super Bowl because once the next tournament starts, it's a clean slate. Mm-hmm. He may be the MVP going into the Super Bowl picture, or he may not be. That's not going to determine if they win or lose. So I wonder, though, if personal pride sets in and he's like, look, we've run the ball the last 2 weeks.
We've done a great job.
There are going to be a lot of Omaha
I trust in my favor,
as opposed to Omaha for CJ.
Right. I think you might be right about that. And I think San Diego's a good opponent for them to do it against. Brandon Flowers has been a great cornerback of late.
Didn't play the last time that these two teams
didn't play the last time that they played. And he can pick them apart. Because after Brandon Flowers can't be everywhere.
Nope.
So if he covers Demaryius Thomas, then you're going to see Emmanuel Sanders have a big game.
Yep.
And if Flowers stays to one side of the field, then whoever's on the other side, good luck against whatever wide receiver Peyton picks. And then, by the way, he also can throw to his running backs. He can throw to Julius Thomas in the red zone. I think Peyton gets back on track. I know last week was a dud. It cost a lot of people in fantasy. I don't see Peyton doing it again this week. I think he has good numbers.
There's also a pretty good track record of him when his guys don't get going, he feeds them. Mm-hmm. Decker last year.
That's a great
both
call.
Both Thomases this year. Maybe he feeds himself.
Phillip Rivers. I kind of like him this week, and I actually see myself moving him into my top 12.
I hate
at 12.
Him. Hate him this
you
week.
You hate him?
Their center
That's
play
such a strong
is,
word.
As a fantasy quarterback, their center play is atrocious.
That's true.
And if he's getting pressure up the middle like we've seen four of the last five games when their centers have been brutal, the only game that didn't happen was the Ravens game, and maybe Haloti Ngata didn't do what he's been doing. So I wonder if they just sell out up the middle, those two guys on the outside, and he's got no time to throw.
Mm-hmm.
And those cornerbacks have played very well for Denver all season long.
His Not receiver, having the run game is going to hurt him.
Exactly. One-dimensional. I hope he has some garbage time production, but I don't see it. I would 10 out of 10 take Johnny Manziel over Phillip Rivers this week.
What about Eli Manning?
10 out of 10 take Eli Manning over him this week.
Interesting that you've got Rivers ranked as low as you do. How low is it? It's at 16th.
Behind Derek Anderson, too.
You've got him behind Derek Anderson? It's a close call. I'm trying not to let my Phillip Rivers bias show through, but I think you make some really good points. And it's not like the Denver secondary is bad. They've allowed some numbers in the past couple of weeks, but it's I don't know. I think you might be onto something.
He played great the last time.
The offensive again. Line might sell me on that.
He was great the last time against
his
him,
line was healthier.
100%.
It was a short week.
Yes. I just look at it as last week's game is very similar. Team face good offense coming into their building. Probably going to be some garbage time situations. Can't run the ball. I just don't love it.
Has he had just one great quarter the last 4 weeks or the last
the
four
Ravens
games?
Game.
The Ravens game. Yeah. And really, other than that, it's been...
Since Miami. Since they went on the road to Miami, he's been bad.
So maybe that means Keenan Allen shouldn't be where we've got him ranked in our rankings, which is number three. You've got him 22nd, I've got him 23rd.
It's interesting that you said that, though, because it's sort of coincided with Keenan Allen getting better, that he's gotten worse.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's been a lot of garbage time throwing. Teams have sort of sagged off him a little bit.
Floyd's had some good numbers lately.
Floyd's been okay. Eddie Royal had a big game against Baltimore. I thought Eddie Royal was going to step up a little bit because that's when Rivers has played well.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't happen last week. You know, so maybe Royal has a good game here. You know, the fact of facing his former team. I think he's had one or two good games against Denver
mm-hmm.
since leaving there. I don't say that with any sort of confidence. But
what about Gates?
You have to start Gates. I mean... I would take Danelle over him. I don't know if I have it ranked this way, but I need to make the adjustment that I would take.
We both have Gates at 7. You do have Danelle ahead of him. You have Julius Thomas ahead of him.
I'm going to switch it. I have Walker one spot behind.
You're going to have Walker than Gates?
Yep.
Yeah, I would join you on that. I'm not moving Gates off the 7, just on the chance that that's an easy short area target for Rivers to go to.
Yeah, but we thought that last week too.
It's ugly in San Diego. Really is. There's not a lot to like there.
Yeah, but you like to be ugly in 9-4 as opposed to ugly in 4-9.
Tennessee. Change at quarterback. They're going back to Jake Locker. Their run game can't be trusted against the Jets, even without Muhammad
Wilkerson.
Yeah,
I'm surprised you have. I just saw it when I pulled him around. You have Sankey so high.
Where do I? This happened last week, too. Where do I have him? 32nd?
Yep. Yeah, this is one of those scenarios I would take Donald Brown over Bishop Sankey.
I can't trust him. You're right. I'm. What if I pull him out of my rankings? Not even have him in my top 48.
It wouldn't be a stretch to see it.
You've got him at 46.
It wouldn't be a stretch.
I must
to
have
see
him projected
it.
For like 5 fantasy points, and that's why.
I wish he would play well. I wish he would close the season playing well.
I don't see it.
I don't see it.
Either. I think this is a big game for the Jets run game.
I like the Jets DST in this game, too.
Yeah, I do, too. I don't really love trusting either DST,
mm-hmm.
but I think that the Jets DST has a little bit more upside to them than the Titans.
I mean, think about what Tennessee's missing.
Yeah.
You know, offensive line problems, can't run the ball already, and now you take away Justin Hunter, Kendall Wright.
Kendall Wright's questionable. Maybe he plays, but who knows how effective he'll be. Yep. What if he breaks the hand again? I think the Jets lean on their runners. I think Chris Johnson has a big game.
Yeah, they dominate time of
possession. I think Chris Ivory has a big game. I'm considering moving them both up even more in my rankings. I've got Chris Johnson at 17, Chris Ivory at 21. You've got Chris Johnson at 16, Chris Ivory at 22. Maybe they take a step forward a little bit, and they just workload plus matchup equals
The thing that I'm concerned about is both of them having the great game, because I think it makes the most sense that Chris Johnson gets the ceremonial touchdown or opportunity, gets a little bit more work than we've seen. Ivory is still, to me, the better talent, and so I wonder which one of them will come through. If I have both, you know, if anybody's handcuffed them, I think Johnson's the safer of the two. But I wouldn't be afraid of Chris Ivory this week either.
We've talked about Delanie Walker. We both like him. It's a great matchup against the Jets. They've allowed 12 touchdowns to tight ends in 13 games this season. Is there anybody else? Percy Harvin, Eric Decker, Kendall Wright, Nate Washington?
No, I think one of the two Jets receivers will benefit if both are healthy, because then McCourty probably stays on his side. I don't know why they move him around.
How much throwing do they do?
That's the point. Is how much throwing do they do?
Yeah. I don't see it.
Harvin doesn't need the throwing to be, you know, he could get a
sure, because he could have a big run or something. Sure, catch and run like that would definitely help him out. I think that's about it. Okay. It is now time to find out who will sit where in the office. This is very exciting.
We're done.
For everybody listening. Yeah. But I've got a coin. It's a regular old quarter from the year 2001. It's one of those coins where it's got like a state represented on the back. This one's Kentucky. I would like to make an amendment. You can tell me if you agree or disagree. The winner has to buy the loser two nice lunches during the offseason.
Sure.
Good? Would you like me to call him?
Hold on. Let's see. Our boss.
Our boss is coming in. He should be here for this. Our boss, Peter Madden, who's coming into our podcast. Peter, I know that there's been much, animosity over where we're going to sit when we move us. And I know you've had to deal with that.
I think he should flip the coin.
I think you should flip the coin. We have a quarter. Would you like heads or tails, Jamie?
I'll take heads.
All right. Jamie's going to take heads. I will take tails. Peter, is there anything you'd like to say? The winner gets the cube in dispute. The loser gets the cube next door. We will absolutely live with the consequences. There will be no nothing. No two out of threes. It's one time only. And the loser gets lunch from the winner twice during the offseason.
We've already called it.
We already called it. Anything else you want to say?
Best of luck to both of you. This is vitally important to both of your careers.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Peter.
Catching it, or am I letting it bounce?
You're in charge.
One, two, three.
It is tails.
Dave gets the cube.
I've got the cube, but now I got to buy you lunch.
There's a payoff.
Two nice lunches during the offseason. Thank you. We are very proud that it had to come down to a coin toss. It was good timing, Peter. Thank you very much. Jamie, how many leagues are you fighting for a finals spot in your
five.
Fantasy? Five?
Yep.
Six.
Nice job.
So I was in seven quarterfinals last week, made it into six. Jamie, I know that you are fighting hard. You're in 5-2. By this time next week, I hope we are all heading into our finals. If you've got a fantasy question, call us on Saturday night. Eye on Fantasy Football at CBS Sports Radio. Starts at 10 p.m. Eastern time. I've done this before. I've given the phone number out well in advance. So write this down, 855-212-4227. Start calling at about 9:58 p.m. Eastern time. Get on board. You guys deserve it. You've been with us for a long time. The podcast is our gift to you for free every single week. We want you to do well in your leagues. Let's talk about your fantasy lineups. Let's get you set for week 15. So you kick some butt. Jamie, good luck in your leagues.
You too, buddy.
Dave, that's me. Good luck in my leagues. For Jamie Eisberg, I'm Dave Richard. Thanks for coming out.
Bye.